This is officially my favorite podcast. If
you're hey, you heard it here. Awesome.
Soulja Boy, tell me.
Hello and welcome to the Tiger's Den. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Tiger's Den, the official LSU podcast of the Dome Patrol United Network. I am your host, Scott. We have a great show lineup for you this week. We're going to be discussing a lot of LSU baseball this week because the season is almost upon us. We'll also probably talk a little football at the end, but we're probably going to mostly spend time on baseball, kind of previewing the season. And we do have a special guest this week who I'll introduce in a second. First, let me introduce my co-host, Wesley. Wesley, how are you doing?
Doing good. Figuring out where this football team's going. We got a couple weeks till National Signing Day, and then baseball season's about to start. And I think that the men and women's basketball teams are, we're trying to figure out what they are finally now, this March of the way through the season. So,
yes. To introduce our guest this week, she was a reporter for The Advocate. She covers LSU football and baseball. She is a amazing and great follower, follow on Twitter. So if you go follow her at Leah at LVan underscore sports, her tweets are always very entertaining and funny. And it is none other than the awesome Miss Leah Van. Leah, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Well, thanks for commending my Twitter.
I love your Twitter. It makes me laugh quite often. So, and then you have good insightful things on there as well, but I definitely like it. So to kind of start off, Lee, I just wanted to get some background from you. You're originally from Texas, correct?
Yep. Born and raised in Texas.
And most recently you were in Iowa.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So what were you covering there? Was it football and baseball too?
It was just Iowa football and athletics administration.
Okay. So being from Texas, you what, a Cowboys fan, I'm assuming?
Yep. Maybe an ex-Cowboys fan now. We'll evaluating our relationship at the moment.
I understand. Yeah. I think a lot of Saints fans are kind of feeling that way about the Saints right now after the past couple of days too. And you're, a Texas fan. I see a Texas banner up there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I graduated from Texas from undergrad, and I went to Northwestern. Northwestern is in Chicago, not
Northwestern Louisiana.
I did not know there was a Northwestern Louisiana until like I got here, and I was like, no. But yeah.
Some people call it the Stanford of the South.
No, they don't.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, and obviously, like LSU will play Texas in baseball, and I'm sure yes. going to have a lot of like people like. Spewing hate at me, but I won't be cheering for them because I'm obviously covering the game, so I can't, you know, there's no cheering in the press box, but
right.
That's a big game in Houston in early March, the Minute Maid, right? That's going to be a big one.
It'll be a good like measuring stick for I think both teams. It'll be very competitive, at least I hope. I went to the College World Series last year, to go watch Texas because I was like, I have nothing else to do. It's summer. I've done that twice now, which I love the College World Series. I think it's probably the most underrated college sports experience that any fan could ever have. It's a great time. And, there's always some weird stories and rain delays that happen there. So, but yeah, I think, it'll be fun. I'm excited.
Awesome. So, you started in Baton Rouge kind of at a crazy time going through coaching changes and stuff. How's that been for you?
Yeah, that was wild. Literally like my second weekend on the job, I'm getting groceries on a Sunday and I get called, hey, there's a press conference because Coach O is getting fired on a Sunday. And I'm like literally in my pajamas, like, you know, at Walmart where I don't want to be seen. And I'm like, cool. Now I got to go get like pretty for an hour. And, that was crazy. And that was one of those moments where I was like, oh, I'm in the big time. And, it was stressful because I moved mid-season, and, you know, after covering a totally opposite conference and totally like opposite team, to come down here and having watched a couple of games and done as much homework as I possibly could do after, like, you know, finishing out a job some elsewhere was really tough. But and then it didn't help that LSU football had like 40 something injuries. So the lineup, even I'd learn it one week, and then next week we've got like totally different set of players that I've got to memorize and figure out who they are and what they do. And so, you know, I think it for me, like the hardest part was keeping the like offensive line and defensive line straight. And I think I got it straight by the end of the season. I kept having to like go back and be like, okay, did he play left guard or right guard? Oh, but he was left guard this game, right guard this game. Like, you know, it was just like a constant shuffling of my brain. But yeah, I feel better now.
That's good. Injuries was huge, both for LSU and actually the Saints too. But so
have you been to an LSU game like before this season, like when it was completely full and like the team was doing well? And I can't wait for you to have that experience next year when like there's actually a full crowd there and people are excited about what's going on, and a little more raucous. I mean, I think even a bad LSU tailgating game is still, you know, can be fun and a little bit loud sometimes, but when you see it at full capacity and everybody hyped about the season, I think you'll have a great feeling about that. It's pretty awesome.
You mentioned doing homework, and that kind of brings me to a thing I wanted to ask you. So when you come into a job like this, where you're coming into like a new program that maybe you haven't covered before, is that something you do? Like, do you go back and look at the history of the program? Maybe not even like talking like past, like, I don't know, maybe from the 80s or 70s. Do you look at that kind of thing, or do you try to jump into it fresh with just like a fresh pair of eyes?
You know, for me, the most important thing for me to learn in the moment, that I jumped in was what was going on right now. And I'll catch up and fill in the blanks later. Like the more recent history, like Joe Burrow, like Leonard Fournette, Jamar Chase, like all those like superstars. Of course I knew that stuff because that was so like recent. You know, I'd watched the national championship team. I'd watched the teams before that a little bit. They came to Texas and kicked our butts in 2019. So I was pretty well aware of LSU football, but like, you know, I think some of it was like, oh yeah, I forgot that like so-and-so played for LSU and he's in the NFL now. And, you know, it was, for me, the most important part was learning what is going on in this program at this present moment. And then as far as the history, I've got the off season, I've got, you know, kind of time to catch up and fill in the blanks and look at the media guides and, you know, because they always have the little names of like, oh, the last person to rush this many yards in a single game was this person. And then, you know, that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I did as much reading as I could on the recent history.
Okay. So,
real quick question about that. So those of us that don't know how it works, like midseason, you're moving from Iowa to LSU. Did an opening come at LSU and you were like, I want to get closer to home, to where I'm from, and that's a big school? Or did someone, does someone approach you and ask you to change schools? And like, that's that seems like
Yeah. So it was kind of like a mixture of things. And I got hired for the Iowa job last December, the December of 2020. Yeah. And started January 2021. And so Brooks Cabina, who was at The Advocate before me, also a Texas grad, that's how we know each other. And so he was he only covered football at The Advocate. But when he left, they were like shifting things around because he now covers the Houston Texans. And so I gave him a congrats text. I was just like, hey, like, congratulations on, you know, getting to the Houston Texans beat. He was like, well, you know, my job's open now, right? And I was like, yeah, but I have a job. And he was like, and, you know, it's LSU. It's a bigger paper. It's a bigger, you know, bigger program, bigger paper, bigger network, whatever. So for me, like, not, it does help. I mean, if it was like South Carolina or like, you know, I don't think I would have done this, you know what I mean? It is close to home, which is Texas. And also I just felt like the reputation of the newspaper itself, which I knew from the Associated Press for sports editors, like, had won tons of national awards over the past couple of years. I had met the sports editor actually a couple years ago at a writing conference. And I told, at the time I was working in Colorado, and he was like, well, where do you want to be someday? I was like, you know, I want to work somewhere where people pick up the newspaper or go online to read about sports, not like anything else, you know? And I just felt like at the time I wasn't at a sports section that like people valued when I was in Colorado. And so, yeah, so the job opening happened, and I just told I emailed the editor, and I was like, listen, or I sent him a DM on Twitter actually, because this is the like 21st century. And
right.
I was like, so like, when you looking to hire, like thinking, oh, maybe he'll wait until like the end of football season. I'll finish things out in Iowa. Like it could happen. He was like, oh, like as soon as possible. I was like, oh, okay, cool. And he was like, do you have something to say on the matter? I was like, I don't know. And so I applied kind of, I just sent him like my stuff, and you know, the interview process kept getting delayed. So I kind of forgot that I had sent him all my stuff. And then, you know, I think it was after Hurricane Ida hit, it was the week that Iowa was playing Iowa State. He's like, yeah, we want to interview you. I was like, oh, you still think I'm good for this job? Okay. Cause it was also one of those things where I was like, this is such a big job that I didn't really think I stood a chance. And I knew the sheer number of applications was going to be ridiculous, especially coming out of a pandemic and everybody's trying to find a sports job. But yeah, so I interviewed on a Thursday after getting like 2 hours of sleep, because I had to prepare my game day section for Saturday on Thursdays in Iowa. And so interviewed. And then the next day I was driving to Ames, Iowa. I was doing a radio segment on my Bluetooth. And then I get this call from Baton Rouge, and I was like, oh crap. And yeah, he offered me the job, and I drove straight to a brewery. And I was on my way to a brewery to meet some guy friends. And one of them I had worked with before in Iowa. And I was like, he's like, what is wrong with you? Like, are you okay? And I was like, I just got a job offer to go cover LSU. So I'm really not okay.
Pour me a drink.
Yeah, I don't know. It was tough. I had some friends who were actually Georgia grads who were up in Iowa, and they were in media, and I told them, they're like, you gotta go, you know that, right? And I was like, well, I don't know. So I turned it down at first, and then I got snapped into my senses, and now I'm here.
Awesome. How's Baton Rouge treating you? Liking it down there?
Yeah, it's good. I think the traffic is kind of nuts.
The traffic is insane. It is the absolute worst.
I mean, you came from Ames, Iowa.
Yeah, well, so,
no, okay. No, I'm just kidding.
But like, I grew up in Fort Worth, and right. Like, my brother lives in Houston. But the traffic's bad here, there, yeah. It's like random. Like, it's
yes,
p.m. on a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what's going on? You know,
nothing. And it's no matter which way you go, like you try to find back roads and shortcuts, and those are backed up too. It's insane.
I'm like thrilled to be in a place that puts seasoning on their food again. you know, I like it. It's fun. The people, I feel like the personalities match my energy. Whereas like my big personality and like the passive aggressive Midwest is like, holy cow, like this girl's scary. So I do feel like it's a good fit for me.
That's good. That's good that you feel that way.
You'll find out that people really get into the sports is everything in Louisiana. I mean, I mean, the Pelicans are starting to get a following, but I mean, Saints and LSU football has just been, I mean, it's the only thing that people have to look forward to a lot of times. And it's, you'll find people very passionate and true fans.
I like the Saints Stadium. I went there because Cowboys were playing, and I was like, naturally. That was a really cool place to see a game. I really liked it there. I always love seeing new sports venues, and that had to be one of my favorites because I don't think you could have a bad seat there.
Oh no, it's
no. Yeah, it's in it, and as old as it is, you wouldn't think that, but they keep making improvements to it. You know, it's been around since the 70s. Since you are covering two sports, do you focus on one when you're in season? Because obviously, you know, baseball season's coming up, but the football news is not stopping. It's constant. I mean, we just had a player today, a defensive back transfer in from Oklahoma State. So, you know, how do you do that? Do you focus on one or do you kind of bounce back and forth?
Well, I think that's why there's two of us, right? With Wilson and I. And so, okay, you know, Wilson moving over to that full-time football all the time reporter, but even with him, like, you know, I still have to pick up half the con, you know, not half, but like, you know, there's still like a good amount that we get to share it. So, you know, right now I've been really working on a Jay Johnson story, which will be our big cover story for like the first baseball game, the season preview. So that's been like kind of consuming most of my energy and, you know, also attending like everything that he speaks at, mm-hmm, and trying to kind of familiarize myself. Like, we'll have the baseball availability on Friday, so I'll get to find out a lot more. People listening to this will know that like I'll be writing some stuff after Friday and have some material. I actually was able to take some time off because knowing that I have this big baseball season ahead of me, and which like will extend through probably the better part of June, my editor was like, why don't you just go ahead, take a week off, do what you gotta do, and then come back a little bit refreshed. So I'm actually, yeah, a lot of the football stuff ended up happening, and I will be covering National Signing Day, you know, the second one that we have in February.
Right.
And I'll be covering some stuff and prepping some football stuff right now. But Wilson's really taking the bulk of that right now as I begin to transition into baseball.
Okay. So I think I've heard either you say, I don't remember if it was when you're on, I saw you on AFR with Matt Moscona, that you like, one of the things you like doing is player profiles. Is that something that you really are into, or not just player profile, but coaching profiles, person profiles?
Yeah. Yeah. I love learning who a person is and getting to know who they are through their people. And, you know, I think it adds perspective, because I think we always forget. I mean, even I, as a Cowboys fan, am guilty of forgetting that these are human beings, right? Like, yeah, I may like hate Dak Prescott as a quarterback right now, but like, I know that he's a good person, you know.
Is he though? I'm joking.
You know, or I like to believe that he is, and I do like his story. I think he has a great story coming from, you know, Mississippi State, and you know, he lost his mom, and he's fought through a lot over these past couple of years. He's an, you know, advocate of mental health. So, you know, those kinds of things really give us perspective, because sports are really a microcosm of society. And, you know, everything, and especially when you grow up an athlete, like I grew up playing team sports. I really got into volleyball and track when I got older, but like, I felt like a lot of my life lessons and life experiences came from sports. And so I think we all lose sight of that when we are in the thick of it and we're emotional and we want it, all we want to do is win. And so, to me, if I'm able to teach people, like share the stories of some of these athletes, and maybe like it kind of provides people some context. And also, I think you're more likely to cheer for a team if you know who's playing, right? And so we all want to know who they are, and like, well, what makes this guy so special? Why is he coming to LSU baseball? Like, who is Jacob Berry, right? And right. So those are the thing, like, we all want to know about these athletes, and that's what makes it so fascinating, is they're normal people, but like, they're just a lot more skilled than us in this right. one particular thing.
Do you think that your, I guess, personal journey, I know, not to get too personal, but I know you're a cancer survivor. Does that kind of lead to that too, where you try to look at the personal side of things to get to know a person better? Is, like you said, yeah, you know, we're all people kind of thing. Do you think that kind of pushed you towards those kind of profiles?
Absolutely. I mean, and I, you know, my experience when I went through cancer treatment, we had the top like running back recruit in the nation at my high school, and he would come and visit me, and Sports Illustrated ended up writing about us and like about, you know, how he was coming to visit me, and, you know, kind of our friendship that blossomed during my time in the hospital. And I just remember like sitting on the phone with a reporter for over an hour talking about it. And I was like, why does this guy care about me? Like, I'm not the star. Like, you just tell, like, just, you know, give the quote about like, oh yeah, this guy comes and visits me, you know? And, but it really was more than that. And, you know, it was a cool thing. And I remember thinking like, you know, sports for me during that time gave me like something to take my mind off of what I was going through. And it gave me kind of like this place I could escape to. And happiness or frustration because the Cowboys went like 3-13 that year. So I felt like they knew I was sick. But you know, it was like this little, like for a couple hours and every day and, or every Friday night when I had, you know, my football team, my high school football team would play and I could turn on the radio and scream at the radio rather than like my IV pole, you know, like it was something special for me. And so I think that sports is kind of that escape for a lot of people. And it's either an escape or it's just this like place that they love to exist in, you know? And, so yeah, I think I seek out these stories. And I think because I've been through some of these things, like I've been through cancer, I've been through loss. Like I lost my father when I was very young. My mom remarried and then got divorced. So like, I feel like I can relate on a lot of different, you know, levels with different players and different people and life experiences and kind of get them to open up to as much as they feel comfortable sharing.
That Louisiana people can appreciate, because I think a lot of them see sports as a distraction too, especially when we're going through hurricanes and flooding and things like that. Like sports has always been that big distraction that helps them kind of get through those things. So I definitely think that your perspective on that will kind of endear you even more to Louisiana folks.
Yeah, and I mean, and just bigger too. I mean, Louisiana is not the best, always in the best economic situation compared to other states that are around it and stuff like that. And so people really do cling on to sports for some of their happiness. Everybody hates their job, but there's a lot of people in Louisiana working outside in elements, working hard jobs and working long hours and on. There's a lot of true like blue collar workers in Louisiana. And seriously, like sports is their joy. Like it's the thing they can do. People go fishing and hope that their quarterback doesn't trip and break his arm. And then they go and then they watch sports and hope that the teams do well. And it gets bad with some friends when if LSU and the Saints are both having bad seasons at the same time or stuff struggling. Like it's tough to deal with some people. And like, you see it affect like way more than just their happiness on the weekends. I mean, it totally turns into a part of their life, and it's kind of become a support system for people as they were growing up in Louisiana. It's a big deal for sure.
I think
bigger than some places.
Yeah, growing up and seeing what the Saints did for the community after Katrina, like that's like what I knew about Louisiana, you know. And I've read Wright Thompson wrote a great story about I think it was like the 10-year anniversary of Katrina and like this and the Saints and everything. And that really was a big picture that stood out to me. But yeah, I think that's that makes a lot of sense to me.
All right, so we got through all that stuff, all the heavy drama stuff.
Talking some baseball?
Yes, we're going to talk some baseball. So you say you're doing a piece on Jay Johnson. Have you gotten like to kind of, or is it like from an outside view, or have you spoken with him like one-on-one for these interviews, or how much have you gotten to know him?
Yeah, I mean, I got to talk to him for like 40 minutes. I got a little sit down with him in his office. And then I'm just kind of talking to, you know, his dad and his coaches that he's worked with or that he's been coached by, and some of his former players at various stops. You know, he's coached at San Diego, he's coached at Nevada and Arizona, obviously. And so I've been kind of trying to I think his godparents even called me too. They were like, we want to talk about Jay. I was like, okay. So like almost the whole town of Oroville, California has probably called Leah Van at some point to talk about Jay Johnson. So he's from a small town. And I think that, so yeah, it's like you get all the different perspectives. And I think like, you know, people have this idea that he's this West Coast guy. And I know that I'm coming from Texas. I have one holistic picture of California, and I'm sure it's very similar to what Louisiana thinks of California. That is not where Jay Johnson is from. And he is from California, but is not like the California that we all think it is, like the hippie lifestyle. So I think that'll be fun for people to find out.
Absolutely.
What do you think? So Jay Johnson's 44 years old. Like he's still a pretty young guy, especially for what we've seen at LSU and how he's worked into the job there. I mean, I think we all grew up with a super old coach and kind of looking at that. what's made him successful at such a young age? I mean, and this is a jump. I mean, he's done well. He's brought some big recruits with him, but you have a feeling about what's made him, got him to where he's even in this position at this age.
You know, he is very driven, and I think he has just chased, from what I have learned about him, he's just chased every opportunity that he could and given it his all. And when people say that, like, Jay Johnson, like, eats, sleeps, and breathes, like, baseball and coaching, like, he literally does. I don't think I keep trying to tap into this idea that he has a personal life, and, like, there's just not a lot outside of baseball. I mean, that this is his love. And so what's interesting is he's the kind of guy who was coach. He was a head coach, was made head coach of Point Loma pretty early in his career after he played there. And that's, I believe, NAIA school or D3. I have to check. I think it's NAIA. If I'm wrong, you can just fact check me on this podcast. It'll be right in my article. I just don't have it in my brain right now. So sure. Nobody just don't.
We're good.
Me, yeah, okay.
Our listeners aren't there. They won't fact check.
We make stuff.
We screw stuff up all the time. Okay, don't worry about it.
So anyway, you know, he goes from, like, coaching at an NAIA, like, Point Loma head coach to take an assistant coaching job at the University of San Diego as a hitting coach. Right. Because he knows that, like, you're not going to get hired to be a D1 head coach after being a, you know, head coach at a small school. You have to go through the ranks. So bites the bullet, you know, and a lot of times those assistant coaching jobs, especially in college baseball, are not paying well. He could have kind of lived comfortably with Point Loma. And then, yeah, he just, like, I think, you know, he established this offense that was, and, you know, coached people like Chris Bryant and, you know, moved on and took a head coaching job at Nevada, which became his first D1 head coaching job. And they saw it's kind of like everything he touches turns to gold. Like, Nevada won not only, like, the first conference championship, but, like, the first Mountain West conference championship in school history, period. Like, not even just baseball. It was the first time they ever won a Mountain West conference championship. That says a lot. And then, you know, he goes down to Arizona and takes him to the College World Series, like, the first year he's there. And then, you know, it takes a while to get back there. But from what I know about Jay is he's got this work ethic that is unmatched, and he's the guy who has whiteboards in his house and will write down novels of stuff he needs to know. And he goes to every coach's clinic. He goes to every, he picks the brains of the minds that he thinks are the best in not just baseball, but football. And his dad was a coach in high school, was a track coach, a very successful high school track coach in California. And that's really where the love for it blossomed. And but yeah, I think, you know, and I think he's climbed the ladder the right way in the sense that, like, he started from the ground up. You know, he didn't really get a lucky break out of a D1 program and then got a grad assistant job at a D1 program. You know, it's kind of interesting. I feel like our stories are similar in that sense. Like, I'm still pretty young to be in the position that I'm in at 26. So it's been a lot of fun to learn.
I think this is an obvious question, but, like, us as a fan base, like, Scott and I grew up with LSU baseball, knowing at one time we were the best baseball program for multiple years. It was a shoe-in to go to the College World Series and possibly win it. And we knew that. But, like, now we're talking about a 44-year-old. I mean, that's my whole life because I grew up with LSU baseball. Outside of us, does everybody know the storied history of LSU baseball? And this is, I mean, one of, even though there hasn't been a championship in a while, this is one of the most storied programs in baseball history and is still extremely competitive. And is that something that, obviously, when they call and you have the interview, okay, you see the facilities, you understand it, but does the rest of the country still know how storied the LSU baseball program is?
I don't know. For me, I knew that SEC baseball was big time, period. I also had seen, so, like, I'm from Fort Worth. I've seen TCU baseball, and TCU actually has been very successful too in the past. And there was one time I watched, like, a game that went to extra innings with LSU, and I was like, wow, this is a big deal. And so I knew that LSU baseball was, like, a big deal. And I knew that people love college baseball down here. I don't think I knew to what extent, you know. I don't think I anticipated like, oh no, you're going to get just as many people reading baseball as they will football stories. And these people are like very, it's like when you have like a niche interest, they're almost more dedicated than say like a football fan base, because you have to go out of your way to find out the information that you want to find out. And so I think that's a special level of dedication that I didn't know. I think the rest of the country knows that like SEC baseball as a whole is a big deal. Yeah. I don't know if they know like LSU specifically is legendary in all these different ways, and Skip Bertman and Paul Maneri and all that.
I think Jay Johnson's going to bring that back, to perspective.
Well, and it's funny because you look at all the major leaguers and like, I didn't know that Alex Bregman went to LSU.
Yeah.
And
the shortstop here.
I mean, and I'm a Rangers fan, so God, I hate the Astros, but like, man, half the Astros roster is like LSU, you know? Yeah. And so I didn't know that. But you really start to dig deeper and like, you look up all the big names in Major League Baseball and you're like, well, dang, they all came from here. So this must be a big deal.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. I'm excited also, Wes was talking about, you know, when football kind of really gets kicking into gear. I'm also excited for you to go to Alex Box Stadium on, you know, an SEC weekend series and just to see the type of atmosphere that it is. It's pretty amazing. And LSU fans are, you know, if you're a fan of LSU, you follow everything. It's not just football. It's basketball. It's now even more recently women's basketball, baseball. You know, if they're winning, I mean, last year I was talking about beach volleyball. Like, they were national contenders in beach volleyball.
Gymnastics was a national contender.
We talk about gymnastics on this show. And if you haven't, I don't know if you've been to a meet yet or plan on going to a gymnastics meet in the PMAC. It's amazing. Like,
I'd love to go. I've heard this is a gym school. So
yes.
I don't know. And I've heard it's a Sam volleyball school. I love women's sports. And I even, you know, if I have the opportunity to watch a softball game, I will. I covered college softball while I was at Texas.
The softball team is
good.
Fantastic.
Too,
yeah.
So it's just like Sam volleyball. That's something special. Not a lot of schools have that yet. And it's a new NCAA sport. And I'm a volleyball fan, and I played volleyball, so I have a huge appreciation for that. It's going to be fun. I'm excited. I knew that, like, from going to the College World Series the two times that I've gone, I know that Mississippi State fans are wild.
Yes.
And when I went to go book my hotel room for the LSU Mississippi State series, I was like, holy cow, I cannot stay in Starkville. It is sold out already.
You've been to their stadium?
Been to their ballpark, but I've seen their fans and how they travel for the College World Series. Like, it is literally, and what the fans told me, they were like, this is all that we have. Yeah. Yep. College baseball at Mississippi State. So LSU has more than that, but I also feel like the fan base is just as rowdy.
Yeah,
it travels well too.
It definitely travels. And I think they definitely rival us. I haven't been there to see a baseball game in Mississippi at Stark Vegas, but I definitely want to go. Like, that's one of the only places other than Omaha that I would want to go watch a baseball game, or here in Baton Rouge or in Baton Rouge. You were talking about Jay Johnson before. I know you weren't really here for Maneri, but just in general, is there anything that you've seen that he does differently to that you've seen with other programs? Anything he does different to motivate the players or anything like that you've noticed?
From what the players, I'll just say what the players told me during fall ball is he's very, very organized and regimented, which I think is a new thing for them. Not to say that Maneri was not, but I of course don't know that. But from what the players have said is that it is, you know, it's on the dot, you're doing different things. And so, you know, 7:15 a.m. you've got this, but then, you know, say like 9:15 or 9:30 or somewhere else. Like, so it's very specific, very organized, kind of OCD-ish. And I think from what the former players have told me too, is like, if you watch a baseball practice or you even watch them prepare for a game, you're going to see like there's a series of specific drills that everybody runs through at a specific time. And it's going to look different compared to like another team. They're not just going to be throwing the ball around. They're going to be going through a whole different like warm-up routine that you're going to see. It's the same every single time. There is consistency there. So the players have loved what he's brought as far as like, yeah, this is kind of a tougher program than it was before to be in as far as conditioning, as far as, you know, having like specific technical aspects of their game adjusted and having a training plan that's specifically tailored towards their needs. They've all been very excited. As far as the mental approach, I think that's what also makes him stand out is I think he brought in an expert last week for the players to kind of start getting their juices flowing on like preparing the mental aspect of their game. And I think that's why his hitting is like the hitting aspect of the game is his strength, because his strength is adjusting your mental aspect of the game. And how, like, I had a player today who told me something very interesting. He was like, when I first was talking to Jay about like how I need to improve in my hitting game, he was like, Jay asked me, are you the type of person who needs to get hyped up or kind of calm down before he approaches the plate? Like those little specific things that make you that much more keyed in and stable and you level-headed, because man, baseball is a mental game. And I think that Jay really, he invests in players as he instills confidence in them. And he's also able to kind of get their mind right.
That's awesome. That's good to hear, because I think that kind of, like you said, you kind of got the feeling with Maneri that things were a little looser and maybe not as organized. And you could kind of almost see it in a lot of their gameplay last year or over the past few years. One thing that I always harp on that drove me nuts was the base running mistakes that LSU would make consistently every year. And I played baseball in high school, and I remember like specifically doing base running drills, like this specific situation, what are you doing, you know, kind of thing. And I don't know that they did that kind of thing, but I think with Jay Johnson, I think they are doing those type of things. I even saw a hype video the other day when they were practicing, and they were actually literally practicing base running, which I was like, oh my God, thank God that somebody is addressing this, because when I was in high school, our coach's philosophy was you have to be on base to score runs. And if you're getting thrown out doing stupid stuff, you're costing us runs. And so the more people you can have on base, the smarter you can be on the base pads, the better chance you have of scoring. So I'm very glad that he seems to be more in tune with that. You look at the roster, and there is a lot of talent on this roster. I don't even know. We've had so many people come in, transfer in, and we had players that were here from last year that were extremely talented. How do you think do you have any kind of sense of, I don't know, of maybe what the 1-9 lineup will be, or how he goes about trying to figure out who's the most talented? Is it like, is he going to tinker a lot with it? Is it a week-to-week thing? Does he have a stable lineup that he wants to stay with? How do you think he's going to approach that?
Yeah, so I'm not going to predict your 1-9 right now.
I know.
I think some of it will be similar, you know, like Trey Morgan's going to be where you think he's going to be, right? I think what's going to be also interesting is catcher. I think the catching position is, not to say it's up for grabs, but I think you've got to transfer in McManus, who is very seasoned and very good. I think people were very impressed with the way he played defensively and offensively during the fall ball. So he'll be interesting to watch. From what I know, from what people have told me about Jay's past, is he is the type of guy where he's like the first couple games, he's going to try a couple different lineups. And I think he said this at Rotary Club the other day, is like, you might see a totally different lineup from game one to game three, game one to game two against Maine. Cause he's kind of this like little, he's a numbers guy and he's like a stats guy. And so he's going to really do his best to optimize it. Mm-hmm. And that means run like really overanalyzing at almost this roster and this lineup and what it can look like. So I think you're going to see a lot of different players at first, which might be really fun. And it's good to get that stuff out of non-conference. I don't know if he'll probably have a more set and steady situation going into the Houston tournament, but even then, like he may not have a starting closer by then. You don't know, but like, I think that's also kind of exciting. I think for a lot of players is, you know, they kind of have a new chance at making a name for themselves and finding their fit. And he's been very hesitant too. What I've noticed too is he wants to afford the opportunity for all of them to really like make a name for themselves and, you know, earn their position. So he's very hesitant to name individuals and what he thinks they're going to be, because he wants to make sure that they know that he believes in them and their abilities to take on a position that maybe they didn't have last year.
Yeah. And kind of touching on that too, I saw that he said that he's probably going to use a lot more pitchers that LSU fans are usually that they're used to, because he wants to kind of optimize the situation and use them in the right spots. So that'll be something different too, for sure. I saw a thing where there was I don't remember who tweeted, it might've been you that tweeted or someone else was talking about like NIL, how a player, offered his scholarship back, or his dad offered a scholarship back because they were making money in NIL. Concern, at least there was a while back, that the football program wasn't handling as best as they probably could. I think that tide has kind of turned a little bit. Do you see that baseball maybe handled it a little bit better than football? Is each sport handling it differently, or is it a collective thing that you've seen?
I'm trying to figure that out, how LSU is handling NIL. I think they are a little bit behind, to be honest, as far as like, you know, in other programs like Iowa and Texas, they outsource their NIL like programming through a different company like Influencer and Open Doors and some of those like outside resources. They use these companies to kind of help them, you know, facilitate these NIL deals. So players are able to like request photos of themselves from the university through these programs, and it's an app on their phone, and they're able to like do that and also kind of look at different NIL deals and look at different options and kind of see, oh yeah, I can do this social media post. This is what I want to do, or this is something I don't want to do and stuff. This is something I don't want to commit to. And really kind of learn how to market their personal brand. They had a whole, like when I was at Iowa, they had a whole like seminar about it with Influencer. And I don't know if, I haven't seen that at LSU, but I think they're actually going to have some sort of NIL seminar actually the same day as National Signing Day next week. I think we'll know a little bit more. As far as baseball goes, yes. So Jay did say that at the Rotary Club. I have not followed up and asked which specific player, because I have a feeling he's not going to tell me.
He's probably not going to tell you, yeah.
But I'm going to ask on Friday. I know who it's not, because we checked with Dylan Cruz. No. I checked with Trey Morgan. No. And Jacob Berry told me he hasn't really done. I mean, he has like some t-shirts and stuff, but I didn't get the sense that like it was him either. So we can rule out three big stars. So we're still trying to figure it out. Eventually we'll get through the whole roster and figure it out. It could also, I also didn't even think of the possibility that maybe it's like a freshman, an incoming freshman. Yeah. It seems a little less likely to me though, but whatever. We'll figure it out. The investigation's on.
It's Fontenot.
I think that I thought about that too. And the thing about baseball though, at LSU, since it is so niche and you have such a dedicated fan base, like a lot of people think that NIL is just going to be beneficial for football for places like Alabama. No, it's going to be more beneficial for these niche sports like college baseball, sand volleyball. It's going to be more beneficial to these sports that did not have as much airtime, did not have as much space to advertise themselves before, and now they have all of a sudden, you know, LSU baseball fans, they're gonna buy the heck out of a Jacob Berry t-shirt. So I think I'm not surprised that baseball specifically at LSU is a little bit further ahead than say football, because it is, and I think, you know, they've also had a little bit more time to like deal with and watch other people deal with NIL and stuff like that and figure out how to, like, I think Trey Morgan was wearing a pair of sunglasses at one of the fall practices that was a brand that he was repping, and I was like, I didn't even know. And he was like, yeah, this is like one of my new brands. It's like, cool. So Yeah, I think baseball, I don't think you can say LSU is like ahead or behind, but I think baseball is on the right track as far as NIL goes.
Okay, cool. Wes, you got any more baseball questions?
Just in general. And there's always a mix, but most media and people were covering sports. They kind of go with three different aspects. Like some people just want to get information to people, some like technical stats and information. Some want to like let the quotes and like let the players or coaches in touch with the people so you can find out what they're saying. And then others, I mean, are opinion based. Like, here's what I watched in the game and here's how I felt about it. And here's what they should do tomorrow. Do you have kind of what you consider your kind of coverage style that you more lean into that's with those? Or is it a pretty even mix, or what do you kind of try to focus on?
So I'm not a columnist, so I'm not going to be the person who tells who's going to be like, this is what they should do, or this is how they should feel. So I'm more of like informational.
That's everybody else these days. Like there's a lot of that.
I'll have opinions, right? Like I might tweet out like, I don't know if I would, I don't know if this is like whatever, but I mean, for real, like my job is to really get y'all the information that you need to know about LSU baseball and LSU football. I'll insert my two cents every once in a while, because like I'm an opinionated woman, I'm from Texas, and that's just who I am. But like, it's not my number one mission, and what's a part of my job description is to give y'all information, to tell stories, and to I'll be analytical with some stats and stuff. But God, you can take stats in so many different ways.
Especially baseball.
I mean, I read Moneyball. I've seen the movie. I've read a lot of baseball books, and I just feel like, okay, yeah, on base percent. Some of my friends are like, no, on base percentage is way better than batting average and way more. I'm like, but it's so cool to have all these stats at your disposal and
for be able sure.
to tell like the different aspects of each player's game. I think there's one transfer pitcher who it might have been Trey Schaefer. I don't know. I think it was looking at opponent's batting average was pretty low, but his ERA was pretty high. And so I think they saw like potential in him because like the batters that did face him were not doing super well. But then again, if you have an ERA that's like super high, it's like, well, what kind of pitcher are you bringing into this program? So, there's a lot of things that, and I think that what's cool about journalism is learning from people who know a lot more than you. I think that that's fun for me, is like, I want to be like, okay, why are you picking up a pitcher with a higher ERA? Right. Like what do you see in him? And they can maybe explain to you why, and I think if we all are a little bit more humble in this world and we ask some questions, and we can learn from the best. And that's like, hopefully I can provide that kind of insight.
Great.
Switching gears. We'll get a little football in here. So Brian Kelly, we're in the Brian Kelly era now. have you had a chance to sit down with him at all?
We got about 20 minutes after his press conference. And there were like four of us. It was Wilson, me, Scott Rabelais, and Sheldon Mickles. So the two columnists, two reporters, got to sit at a table with him for like 20 minutes off the record, just kind of shooting the shit, introducing ourselves. He remembered me from the press conference, which was cool. I was like, well, it's probably not that hard. I'm like the only woman with red hair. pretty obvious. It was funny because I did connect with him on some level, because since I covered Iowa, what's interesting is Iowa's head coach, Kirk Ferentz, he started his career at the Worcester Academy. I'm always pronounced it wrong. And it's in Massachusetts. Turns out, they play against Assumption College, which is where Brian Kelly played football and then coached softball and coached football at the very beginning of his career. And they were both kind of in that town at the same time. So he actually was like, oh, so you know about Kirk Ferentz? Yeah, we scrimmaged them in football when I was coaching at Assumption College. And I was like, no way. He's like, you know about the staff all the way up. I was like, oh yeah. Like Kirk Ferentz, Joe Philbin was a player. Like Mike Sherman was on staff and Ken O'Keefe was on staff. He's like, so you know your stuff. And I was like, yes, Brian Kelly, I know my stuff. and then he was also, since Iowa's athletic director was Gary Barta, who was on the college football playoff committee. Brian was not too keen on Gary Barta, which like no one really is. So I was like, yeah, like vibes, like sounds good, BK, like whatever. He's a very confident man. Very confident. I understand why. He, from what I've heard from recruits, like he's a good, like living room talker, you know? So, you know, I think when you have somebody of that kind of confidence, it's endearing. And I think that LSU probably needed to hire someone with a record that wasn't, riddled with like Title IX issues and stuff like that. So it kind of, it does make sense if you think about it. At first glance, you're kind of like, what? But you know, I think I'm really interested to see what he does. And I think what we're seeing in recruiting right now and with the transfer portal, I think fans are starting to kind of come around on their thoughts on the hire.
Yeah. I mean, they're killing it with transfer portal and with getting recruits in. I think, a lot of people were worried when he first came on about how he was going to be able to recruit, especially in Louisiana, but the coaching hires he has made, have been very smart as far as getting recruits from Louisiana. And a lot of his coaching staff, we've talked about on the show before, are either former head coaches or coordinators. And that adds a lot of credibility to the coaching staff just in general. So
with the coaching staff, like he's hiring people away from jobs to come here that normally people were leaving here to go to those kind of jobs. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it's just a difference. And I mean, love the coaching hires, and he's really focused, like Scott was saying, on people from Louisiana. So he knows that's going to be important. And I think it was endearing. Like you used the word endearing. It was great the way he came in and said, like, I'm here. I'm not here to change Louisiana. I'm here to let Louisiana change me. Like he's getting into the culture and like wanting to get into, the locals and figuring out like why people are so passionate about football and all. And I remember from his press conference, he was pretty excited about when he saw it's cool to see somebody go from Notre Dame to Louisiana and be really excited about the facilities.
Yeah.
They have as nice of facilities as there is in the world.
Well, I think he also has resources in Louisiana that doesn't have in Notre Dame. And also the recruiting landscape is a lot different.
Sure, yeah.
And I think he's never been in a place where he's had every single resource possible at his disposal. Not to say that Notre Dame is not a perennial program, but like, you know, he doesn't.
You got to pass the SAT to go to Notre Dame.
You have to recruit players with the right GPA and whatever, but also like he's got to go nationwide for recruiting. Yep. It's so much harder to recruit the Notre Dame name. And whereas like LSU, I mean, shoot, you've got your whole backyard full of the best talent in the nation as far as skills players go. And then you've got Texas right next door. You've got like the entire South, which values football like a little bit too much. And so I think he's just really excited to be in a place that values something that he loves as much as he does.
I would bet anybody that more than 50% of high school football players don't know what state Notre Dame is in. And so like you're talking about that, like what's the identity? And I mean, it's not that where it is in the country and that pride of that. I mean, there's a mystique still of the success of the program, but you're right. That's a huge thing of I guarantee you more than 50% of high school football players don't know what state it's in.
Yeah.
Have you gotten a chance to interview any of the players or anything before, like, I guess some of the newer ones that are coming in or ones that are coming back?
No, well, we had the Texas Bowl but that was a different environment, different vibe. Technically Brad Davis was the head coach there. And then as far as like recruiting goes, I mean, I got to talk to some of the recruits. I haven't talked to like any current players who have decided to come back since Brian Kelly was hired. Okay. I haven't been able to talk to them about that topic. And I don't think we will until spring.
Spring, right.
And yeah, so, but what I've heard from recruits, and I think like one recruit that I remember talking to was Will Campbell, who's a big like offensive lineman out of Monroe. And he was very excited. And like all of the offensive line recruits that I've talked to have been like, okay, yeah. Like, first off, they were very happy that Brad Davis was being retained. And then second off, they were like, oh, we're bringing in a head coach who is known for developing offensive linemen. So this is really cool for us. But yeah, that's to the extent, that's what I know. I know that there's a big visit weekend this weekend. So
yeah,
you're going to see some of those like kids, you know, Harold Perkins, who just got back on the market. Yep. He's coming through. Jacoby Matthews, I think, is coming to visit. So it'll be interesting to talk to them after their visit, because I'm sure that it might be the first time or maybe the second time they're getting to talk to Brian Kelly. I think on the last official visit weekend, Brian Kelly played Top Golf with like all the recruits, and it was like a big family outing. And from what like all the families have told me about that, is like they just really had a great time and they thought he was very down to earth. So
That week, if you can get Perkins and Matthews, and then we can get Citizen, like people are starting to think now, you get the three of those added to what we're already doing, and that's three really big names and people that can come in and make an impact going along with what we already have. And pretty much anything else is kind of lanyap at that point.
Yeah. If you do get to interview Miles Brennan, could you do me a favor and just bring some bubble wrap with you and just like just wrap it around him?
Make sure he doesn't wear flip-flops of the interview.
No flip-flops, like, you know, only tennis shoes.
Funny when I heard that story, because at the very beginning of the season at Iowa, the starting right guard broke his foot jumping off a hay bale. And I just thought, this is the most Iowa thing I've ever heard. And so when people were talking about like, yeah, LSU is a wild place, like you're going to be covering breaking news that's more than just some guy like jumping off a hay bale, right? I was like, okay, but the like senior quarterback broke his arm fishing? Like, that's the most Louisiana thing I've ever heard in my life.
Absolutely. Yeah. For a while, there was a lot of us kind of wondering like, if he really was doing something else that he wasn't supposed to be doing. And that was the cover story. But, you know, it seems kind of legit when you actually hear the story, because they were like, how do you get hurt fishing? Like,
also, it's a very specific story to try to make up.
Right. Right. You know, once you hear it, it's like, okay, no, you can't. Absolutely not. So Leah, we're actually going to talk some LSU basketball. Do you follow any other sports? Like, just as a casual fan, like LSU sports, basketball, women's basketball, anything like that?
I've been unable to do so far. I do want to watch women's basketball. I like women's basketball more than men's basketball. Sorry, don't hate me.
I don't hate you.
I just do.
I understand.
I also love Kim Mulkey's outfits.
Yes, they're pretty epic, aren't they?
I think she's just a cool woman. She's really interesting. So, but no, I've not, I cannot speak on basketball.
Okay. So we're going to shift to that. If you're welcome to hang around, or if you need to go, I know you've been with us for about an hour now. So I just want to say, we definitely appreciate the time that you've given us. It has been great talking to you. Anyone, if you're on Twitter, go follow her. Like I said, it's a good follow. I think you're on Instagram as well, so go follow her there. At @LVan_sports is her tag on Twitter. Do you have anything else that you want to throw out?
No, thank you for having me. It's been fun.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time. We really do appreciate it. And we hope to have you back sometime soon. And Wes will hook you up with some barbecue. Coupons, so some barbecue.
Yeah, it's fine barbecue. I'm going to remember this, Wes. So.
For sure.
All right, y'all take care.
All right, thank you, Leah.
Bye.
All right, LSU basketball. Tigers dropped to Tennessee. Men's Tigers, I guess I should say basketball, dropped to Tennessee 64-50. It was probably, I would say, the worst game that I've seen them play in a while.
It was awful.
I think they opened the game, it was like 17-0 or 14-0 at one point. It just had a hard time getting going, and then once you get in a hole like that, it's nearly impossible to dig out of. They did dig out of it, and kind of got it a little bit closer. I really think missing Pinson is really hurting them a lot. Days did play. That was, let's see, Days only had 5 points. LSU's leading scorer was Murray, who had 15. I'm sorry, Eason had 16. Murray had 15, and, you know, Eason comes off the bench. We really got to get Pinson back. And they play, I believe, tonight. They play tonight versus Texas A&M, 8 o'clock in the PMAC on SEC Network. Wes, did you – I think you said you hadn't really – you watched some of it or looked at the score of it?
Yeah, there was another game on, so I was watching something else. And then when that football was on that night, I turned it on, and I was like, what in the – I just looked at the score. I'm like, what in the heck is going on? And then I turned it on. And it was – I mean, it's some of the worst basketball I've seen played. I mean, and I don't know what's going on in the second half of the last couple of games, but
The scoring has just been atrocious. Like, we can't hit anything. And I'm hoping that it's just a little lull. You know, if you're going to have a slump, I guess now's the time to do it before you get closer to the SEC tournament and the, you know, the March Madness tournament, NCAA tournament.
I really want to ask, I mean, so is it a slump, or are we figuring out this team's not as good as we hoped it was? Like,
I think it's a slump. Like, I really honestly think that we can shoot better defensively. You know, they're still playing strong defensively. They only gave up 64 points, but I really think that it's the shooting aspect of it. And Will Wade's teams have been known to shoot better than what they are now. They're not known for defense, which is what they're doing. It's like they've totally flipped, and they need to get it to where they've got it both, you know, on true. They're 3-4 in the conference, 15-4 overall. I'm really hoping that it's just a slump. We've lost 3 in a row, hoping they can get back on the winning track tonight. They have TCU on the 29th and then Ole Miss on the 1st.
And these next two games, A&M and TCU aren't ranked, but they're good teams.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I mean, A&M's 15-4 and TCU's 13-4. Like, these aren't teams that are just going to lay over and lose.
Right, absolutely. They're going to have to play well. I think hopefully maybe getting back in the PMAC tonight will help with that. But, you know, even listening to Will Wade, he says, you know, we're okay. We're going to be okay. You know, he's got a few things I think he wants to fix and correct. But I think in the end, I don't think they're fool's gold. Like, I really think they're the real deal, and they will get it fixed and turn it on. Women's basketball, they played Florida, lost by 1 against Florida. So now they're 17-3. They're 4th in the SEC. They're number 12 in the AP and 11 in the coaches poll. They play tomorrow night, SEC Network, 7:30 against Arkansas. It's at Arkansas. So hopefully they can get back on a winning streak as well.
Also, I mean, Arkansas is not a bad team either this year.
Right. And then they go to Kentucky on the 30th and Ole Miss on the 7th. And Ole Miss is ranked 24. You know, both men and women coming off of a loss, just, you know, need to get it back in the swing of things. But I think they'll both be okay. Gymnastics, they have a meet on Friday at Georgia, 6 o'clock. It will be on the SEC Network. They haven't had a meet in 2 weeks. They did an inter-squad meet, I think, last week, and instead of the Arkansas meet that they were supposed to have. So if you have time on Friday night, take a look, 6 o'clock, SEC Network. Any final thoughts, Wes?
No, I think we covered a bunch of it. This is more than I necessarily thought we'd be able to talk about at the end of January.
Right.
For LSU.
Never a dull
moment.
Like
you said, we got another big cornerback commit today. There's a couple of other people in transfer portal that came out yesterday that were talking to them and have made offers. And LSU, there's a couple of guys that are going to be graduating in April or May that are talking about where their next school is going to be, and LSU is considered to be on the list. There's a lot of things going on that kind of surprising. So we'll have some more answers here in about a month. But
like you said, when's the signing day, Wesley? Is it the 2nd, I want to say?
Something like that.
I think it's the 2nd.
2nd or 3rd.
So it's like next week is the second signing period. So we'll have more news probably next week on that. We still have Caleb Williams out there making, you know, waiting to see what he does. So there's a lot of things that's going to be happening over the next few weeks. And then we're starting baseball. I think that starts the 8th or 9th, somewhere in there, second week of February.
Then March Madness.
Yeah, then March Madness. I mean, it's not never ending. But all right. So that's all the show we have for you right now. We want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all your friends about the Don't Patrol United Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, the Don't Patrol Podcast, the BS and Beer Saints Podcast, the Pelican Plunge, sometimes, the Premier League Podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and of course, the Tigers Den. Follow us on Twitter at Don't Patrol PCast and at Don't Patrol UK and at Tiger_podcast. Follow us on Twitter to watch live streams. And if you want to participate in our game day chat, DM us on Twitter to get an invitation to our Don't Patrol Discord server. We actually did a Don't Patrol show last night on the Discord server and had fans of the show join us. So if that's something you like to do, please come along. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, go to DontPatrolPodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, signing donkeys.
Good night, Tiger Nation.
Hey, fighting tigers, fight all the way. Hey, fighting tigers, win the game today. You've got to know how you're doing fine. Hang on to the ball and you hit the wall and stand right through that line. You gotta go for the touchdown, run up the score, make Mike the Tiger stand right.